Okay, good morning. So, looking forward to a sport that I've never played before in pickleball. But I will note one thing. If you're going to play pickleball or any kind of activity in this gym, appropriate footwear is important. Isn't that right, Cam Mitchell? Wearing your wife's shoes does not count this week, okay? Okay, that's how he broke his ankle. I did something. Anyway, you can ask him about that story. But I look forward to playing pickleball, a sport I've never played, but a sport I expect to win. That's the British nature. Okay. All right, let's pray and get into God's word this morning. Father God, we just thank you for the gift of life. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we could just come before you in freedom. And Lord God, as we just look at your word, and Jesus, we just want to grow closer to you. So steady our hearts and minds on you, Jesus, at this time. In your name, amen. If you came a little earlier, you'd notice on our bread run table this morning, and actually last week, that we had some potatoes, and did we have carrots as well? Onions, that's the one, look similar. Turnips, other stuff that aren't bread. Because we've had this produce that we've collected, harvested from the community gardens that we have. If you didn't know, if you're fairly new to Southside, we have back there area. It looks like graveyards, but it's not. I thought it was graveyards when I first came. I'm like, oh, I wonder if the pastors get a plot. But no, it's not that. That's where all the previous ones were. No. It's garden plots. And so we as a church, we allow people in the community to put their vegetables or grow vegetables in those plots. And we as a church have a few spots as well that we plant various stuff in and harvest them and give them away. And normally Jen takes the lead with this, and she still does, and she grabs different volunteers to help with the harvesting and the watering, although God did the watering this summer and all that kind of stuff. I don't often get asked. In fact, she's never asked me to help normally, mainly because I don't really do gardening at home. When I do, I don't do it very well. For example, when she's asked me to trim the grass or weed whack, you call it, which is really weird. I don't discriminate, so you know, I'll whack the weeds, but if there's a rose next to it, you're going down too. So she doesn't like me to do that. So I normally am not asked to do the gardening. But this year, when it came to harvesting the church garden, she was desperate, so desperate to have help that she asked me. In fact, she came to me one day in the week and said, Johnny, on this beautiful, cold, wet, rainy day, I would like, can you go and harvest the potatoes? I was thrilled, as you could tell, to do this. But as a good husband, I, of course, did this. She said, as I was heading out there, she said that, well, just so you know, I'm not sure there will be anything there because I'm not sure anyone's looked after it, but still go and do it. I was equally and doubly as excited now to know that I'm going to go into the rain on this cold day and harvest something that could be absolutely nothing. So anyway, so I go out there. And Jen's actually harvesting the carrots. And what was it? The onions, whatever. She was doing something else. And she sent me off to do the potatoes that may or may not have been there. And so, you know, I kind of get myself all ready, get my gloves on, Value Village, because you don't really want to touch worms, okay? They're just gross. And so, you know, we're at the plot outside, and she gives me a fork, like a big garden pitchfork. I'm not sure that's the right tool because most of the things got pierced. But anyway, so I ditch the fork, and as I'm kind of grumbling through this stuff, initially I get quite excited because I start to see some potatoes. I'm like, sweet. Well, this one's got chopped in half, so that's my fork. Oops. You know, but oh, we got some potatoes here, some good sized ones. This is actually what I grabbed this week, so ones that I left in the box, so oops. So there's some good sized ones, there were some not so good sized ones, but you know, I was getting a little bit excited thinking, oh, this gardening lark is pretty rewarding, you know. Here I am working away, and I'm actually, you know, harvesting some potatoes. That's pretty good. And that excitement lasted about a minute, because the rain started getting harder and it started getting a bit colder. I get bored easily, if you don't know me very well, and so I was kind of lost interest. And so, if I'm honest, my mind started wandering, going, as my back was starting to hurt as well. I wasn't complaining. I'm thinking, Johnny, you're not even going to eat these potatoes. You're giving them away. This is what's going in my mind, you know, because you're starting to get cold and wet and painful. And I'm digging away and I'm picking all this dirt up and there's worms coming out. I'm like, oh, I don't do worms, you know. And I'm like, you're not even going to eat these. You're doing all this work. You're not even going to eat them. And, you know, good for you. We're giving them away to some people who can eat them and some people who aren't physically able to do this. Good for you, Johnny. But my mind, maybe it's because I've been watching, you know, all the politics or whatever, but my mind was going, yeah, but someone could have helped me, you know. Someone could have been able to do this with me. And I'm getting a little, if I'm honest, a little bitter in this. But anyway, I keep plowing through it, and I'm throwing all the potatoes, whether they're big or small or chopped in half or somehow like weird grass going through them. But no matter what they looked like, I threw them all into this large cardboard box. And then when I was done with the large cardboard box, I came inside and I started going through them, filtering the good ones to the not so good ones. You know, I'm pretty gracious with potatoes because I like potatoes. So, you know, I'm thinking I'll cut some bits off and save that. But I started filtering what we're going to use and what we're not going to use. And as I kind of reflected on this whole process, a couple of biblical lessons kind of came to me, good old pastoral style, that I thought, hey, I could use. And so the novice harvester, that's me, is going to share two biblical examples from my harvesting experience, one of my first times and hopefully last, but this is where you green-fingered people can step in. And so here are my two lessons. First lesson from my harvesting fun is this. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 to 9. It should be on the back there on the screen. It says, "For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything." Say that again. "So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." So here's Paul reminding this church that it is not about him, Paul. It's not about another church leader, Apollos. It's not about you or me. It is always about Jesus. To be blunt, he was telling the church to get over themselves. He was telling these people who were making a big deal about who they were following to go get back to the one who does the creating. Get back to the one who does the saving. Get back to the one that does the growing. It's God. And I think there's a real danger we as Christians, we can fall into the idol worship trap. Follow, whether it be evangelists going around, going or following healing people, or whoever's on TV, or it's, oh, I got to do this because this person's read a new book. Oh, we got to follow this person because they've got a church full of thousands and thousands of people. Oh, they must be good. And they may be filled by the Holy Spirit, but that's exactly it. It's the Holy Spirit. I think this is a good reminder, and this was a reminder to me as I was getting a little bitter in myself, going, Johnny, you're doing all this work. You're harvesting this, but you're not even going to eat this. Get over yourself, Johnny. It's not about you right now. And I think this is a really good lesson for us as a church and us as a Christians to go the only way. And we all desire to do part of a growing, healthy church, and we all desire to be growing in our faith. The only way that is possible is when we root ourselves to God. The only way that's possible is when we always turn back to Him, when we don't make it about ourselves. The beauty of that is it doesn't matter if you've been part of this church for 30 years, 10 years, 5 years, 2 weeks. We all come together as one in Christ. Rather than, hey, I put the doors on this building. I get more of a say. Because there's a danger there. I've let this ministry, I mean, we pastors can fall to this. In fact, this part of the scripture that I kind of repeated, where neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow, I printed that out and put that across my desk. Gemma's not impressed because it looks ugly. But I put it there because I in myself can fall to be arrogant, to be prideful, to think if something goes well, it's, look what I've done. I think this is one of the best passages out there for any leader in any kind of ministry to go, it's about God. Get back to what it's about. Church, let's get back to what it's about, and it's God. He did the creating. He loved us so much that he sent his son who did the dying, who did the saving, who beat death. If it wasn't for him, we would have nothing to sing about. So that was my first lesson. Church, we got to get over ourselves. Johnny, you got to get over yourself. Second lesson comes from Romans chapter 14, verse 7 to 13. For none of us live for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother and sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put on any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of any brother or sister. You know, as I was sorting through the potatoes, going, wow, this is a good one. Sweet, that's on the table there. Oh, this one's a little blemish, but I'm, you know, I can cut a little bit off and that's still too good to go. You know, I came across some. Here's one example. This. What's all that about? What pathetic. And it was right next to a good sized one too. And I remember digging through stuff and going, what a waste. Well, I'm not going to do anything with that. And so there were a few of these. Some were rotten, some were cut in between. And so I, you know, I did what anyone else would do. Throw them in someone else's plot. No, I didn't. I threw them away. But I got rid of them. And as I was doing this, I thought to myself, Johnny, you're a spiritual potato. Not over do you need to get over yourself. And now I listened to my mum when she told me I was a couch potato, but now I'm a spiritual potato. It's because when I read passages like this, when ultimately we're going to stand before God. I mean, this is not an only passage on itself that talks about standing before our Creator and make an account for ourselves. I mean, Jesus talks similar. Jesus says there'll be people that come to him and say his name, and he says, and I'll even say to some of those, I don't even know you. Ouch. And I hope that's how you feel. If you feel, whatever, then you need to get to know God. If the thought of once we've accepted Christ, even still standing before him and being a count, that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. That should really affect how we live our lives. Knowing that there will be a day that we stand before him. If we believe that's true. If we believe this is true, that's a big deal. That like these potatoes that we're going through and going, well, this one took root. This one got it. This one's useful. Well, this one said it got it, but there's weeds going through it. There's nothing to it. And it kind of just got me thinking is, do I take this life seriously? Do I take this living for Jesus that we talk about, this Christ-like living, seriously. Because it's not complicated. I know complicated. I went to school. I dealt with complicated. This is not complicated. We are called to be Christ followers. We're not going to get to heaven and he's going to give us an equation to work out if we got it or not. It's pretty simple. Did you accept Christ? Did you allow him to transform your life? Did he affect your life? Did you follow? Was he all that you said he was? Did we see that? To be Christ-like. You know, what was Christ like? Remember that I did a sermon, you'd be like, what? I can't remember. But about a year or so ago, and I wrote on paper around the room, what is Christ like? And we talk Christ is love and forgiveness and compassionate and merciful and et cetera, et cetera. And that's what Christ was like. And so therefore, that's what we should be like. It's all well and good. You go, yeah, but I come to church. I mean, let's picture ourselves standing before God, like these potatoes, before our judge, and he looks at you, and you go, I went to church every week. I tithed. And God said, but you didn't forgive your sister for 30 years. You walked past that person every day and didn't help and didn't clothe me and didn't feed me. But good for you for going to church every Sunday. And I look at that and go, Johnny, we gotta take this seriously. This life of just living for Christ, of with a thankful heart of what he's done for us, not being bitter, but living a life of thanksgiving, but knowing that we also will stand before him. You know, in the 10 years I've been pastoring, we've done a few funerals. More funerals in the UK than we've done here, but still a fair few funerals. And I'd be lying if I said I've not done this, where I've came to do a funeral for someone who came to church, and I've been preparing that sermon and going, or that funeral and going, oh, you know, I really hope, let's say Bob, let's use a name, I really hope Bob really did grasp what we're talking about, because I didn't really know Bob. Bob really kept himself to himself. I didn't really know if Bob actually grasped what we were talking about. And so I remember I asked people in the church, hey, I'm doing Bob's funeral. Tell me about Bob. Oh, I don't really know Bob so well. Because Bob, like a potato, hid himself. And so we're kind of hoping that Bob took root. You see, here's the thing. We're not called to be spiritual potatoes. Phew. We're called to be spiritual fruit. You see, this fall, or autumn, if you're correct, this autumn, or this harvest, we also harvested our apples. And you know when we knew it was time to harvest the apples? Because we could see they were ready. We weren't guessing. We saw them grow. It wasn't Jen sending me out there and going, hey, head to that tree and hopefully you can harvest something. It was, go over to the tree because it's obvious they're ready. I think that's why Jesus calls us to be bearing fruit. I think that's why Jesus uses terms like attach ourselves to the vine, because grapes, for example, and apples are there, visible, growing. We're not called for just hope for the best. I hope it took root. We're actually called to take root of this truth and allow it to be a light. Allow it to be shown for others to be seen. Allow other people to see that this God that we're singing about, this Jesus that we sing about, only Jesus, give me Jesus, we've been singing about, that people go, wow, I see something. I see something beautiful. I see something different. Well, we're not called to go, okay, I accepted it, and I'm going to, you know, get my potato and just dig deeper and kind of get it in there and cover it up and hope for the best. And hopefully, you know, God digs us out and goes, is that it? We're called to be fruit so that in two ways. First, so that we grow together. To be part of a journey together when we are struggling or not quite understanding something or whatever it may be, that we can call on our brothers and sisters who are on the same tree, same vine, and support one another. So not that we're picking up these potatoes and going, oh, I didn't know there was all that missing. That we can see on the fruit that's growing right before us and going, brother, I love you, but I can see a blemish. I can see an area where you maybe need to give that to Christ. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in that. I want to journey with you. That's why we're called to journey together. That's why we're formed as a community. But the reality is, most of us, we work, we're in different communities at home and in our neighborhoods. We're also called to be bearing a fruit and bearing a light, being witnesses there. I know it might be comfortable to be a spiritual potato, to kind of come out on a Sunday and sing the songs and then go home and bury ourselves back in that dirt. And that might be a comfort because, you know, then no one could point and go, oh, you call yourself a Christian, or, oh, well, what did the Bible say about that? Whatever. But if we're grasping that this is truth, if we're going, Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is my eternal happiness, that Jesus is the way, then we can't just bury that. He didn't call us to bury that. He calls us to allow that to be shown, allow that to be seen, so that we can encourage each other and support each other, but also that people in our lives can see that there is a goodness. You know, tomorrow, Jenna mentioned in her prayer, the election, which, by the way, it's kind of weird being in a country and not being allowed to vote because we're permanent residents, not a citizen. But as I follow all this, the election, and hopefully next time I'll be able to vote, it may not go the way you hope. It may not. And we could be disappointed or whatever. But ultimately, we're still called to be a light. We're still called to be on that tree going, yeah, I'm disappointed, but you know what? I'm still going to be bearing fruit. I'm still going to be loving. I'm still going to be forgiving. I'm still going to be peace in my community because there's a greater leader in my life. There's a God that will never get kicked off the throne. And that's who I serve. Don't be a potato and dig yourself in. So these two lessons that I kind of jumped at me both come with a thankful heart. Because when we are thankful that God loves us, when we're thankful that he does the growing, he did the creating, he did the saving, when we're thankful for that, we're able to serve, like Paul says, in the watering, in the seeding, or whatever it may be that God's called you, with a grateful, thankful heart. And we need to do that. But also with a grateful, thankful heart, we go, I can't keep this a secret. I can't keep this hidden, buried beneath the earth. I got to allow this fruit, this difference in my life to be shown. To be an encouragement to others, but also to be a witness for them. So don't be a potato, you'd be thankful to know. Be an apple on the tree where, okay, birds can poop on it. But your brothers and sisters can look out for you and wipe it off. There's your take-home notes. But then we're in this together. That's what we're called to do. There are so many different ways to be connected. If you're new to the church, one person this morning came to me and said, hey, I'd love to get connected in the church. And I pointed her to one of these yellow forms. There's one way to get connected. It tells you about, we can let you know about connect groups and different ways to get involved. The sports night tonight. There is purpose with fellowship. You don't have to be the most sportiest person ever. In fact, that'll give me a slight chance to win. So all are welcome. It's adults only, but it is all adults are welcome for that. But it's part of fellowship. It's being connected. There are so many different ways. But then it's going out there, living it. That's where it's big. Allow that fruit to be shown. I know it's comfortable to be buried. I know sometimes we want to be shy. And maybe you've got guilt or whatever it might be, and that's why you kind of bury yourself away. But allow Jesus to rub all those blemishes off. Allow him to do the transforming and the growing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, that you love us. We thank you, Father God, that ultimately we come here before you. Like the song we've been singing is, just give me Jesus. Father God, we ask that that's the prayer, not just this morning when we're gathered together, but I pray that for each person here today, that that's our heart's desire when we leave this place, when we go home, when we go out, when we go to work, when we do whatever it is that we're doing. Give me Jesus. So I pray, Father God, for peace. I pray for those that maybe go home or go to work in a stressful environment, that Holy Spirit, that you dwell in them. They give a peace that's beyond understanding. But Holy Spirit, I just ask that you continue to do the growing here at Southside. That it's not about us in leadership, it's about you. Holy Spirit, we just want to surrender to you, to root ourselves to you so that we grow, not as potatoes hidden away, but as fruit growing beautifully so the world can see that you're a God that's living and that you do transform and change and grow people into being Christ-like. That is the answer, and it's in Jesus. God, give us the strength and the courage to not be hidden away this week, to be a light for the truth that is transforming. Thank you, Jesus.